Morning, my brothers and sisters. It always amazes me how the sister that plays the piano knows exactly what, and without even asking me what I'm going to be speaking on, I couldn't have picked a better. Thank you. And I've named the exhortation this morning, God loves me, or God loves us. My brothers and sisters, every day is a gift of God to us as children. And let me say that I feel that our Father in heaven truly loves us. And as his children, we should have a desire to please him. Our desire should be genuine, but our actions tell the real story. And it seems to me that every day is a challenge just to find a time to do the things that we need to do, or should do. So let's look back on what we were doing, say, yesterday, and see if we can pick out something that helped us to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. For instance, did we deny ourselves of anything that we wanted yesterday? Was there anything that we wanted but we knew that we really didn't need? Or was there anything we wanted to do that we knew it would take us away from our spiritual well-being? And as you know, denying ourselves prepares us for the coming of the kingdom of God. And you might ask, how would that possibly help me prepare for the kingdom? But self-denial is a crucial element in our education on the road to the kingdom. For if there was ever an example of self-denial in the Bible, then Christ is at the very top of the list. But just how did Christ deny himself? Well, in Matthew chapter 8, we read, "And Jesus said unto them, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head." You know, I find it very hard to understand what it would be like to be homeless. Not to have a table to sit at when I have my meal, when I eat. Or a bed to lie down on when I'm tired. Or just a place to sit and rest after a hard day of working or preaching, as it would have been in the case of our Lord. God has blessed our lives from the day that we were born with creature comforts that we enjoy every single day, without even a second thought, until we're deprived of them. Philippians says to us in chapter 2, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." In God's infinite wisdom, he gave us a mediator. A mediator who knows what it's like to go hungry, who knows what it's like to be poor, what it's like to be destitute, what it's like to suffer unjustly, or to be the brunt of lies from strangers, what it's like to be tempted. For without experiencing this personally, he would not be able to plead for compassion for us, or for understanding, or for forgiveness from our Father in heaven. He experienced these things because of the self-denial that he practiced in his own life. Self-denial can affect us in so many ways, especially in the world around us today. Paul told us in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust thereof." Brothers and sisters, we know what we should do, but the flesh is truly weak. Anything that we do that does not put us closer to God can only take us further away from him. Hobbies, or interests that take us away can only hurt us in the long run, no matter how innocent we might think that they might be. Life is a struggle, and self-denial, I think, is the biggest struggle that we all face. And if we can control that, we can, with God's help, control the destiny of our lives. Maybe yesterday we had time to sit down and do a little self-examination. It certainly seems to go hand in hand with self-denial. It usually takes a little self-examination to deny ourselves of something that we think that we want. But self-examination is not easy. And trying to judge ourselves is difficult because of the nature that we inherit as sinful creatures. Jeremiah put it best when he said in chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know?" If we put our trust in our own human nature to help us to make decisions, then we can certainly fool ourselves. From our studies of the Word of God, we know what the right choices are in this life. And if we examine ourselves from the spiritual point of view, then I'm sure we will always find room for improvement. Self-examination is putting ourselves where we belong, as pitiful and sinful creatures. We just read not long ago in Luke chapter 18, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But we have hope, for we have a Father in heaven who loves us. And Lamentation chapter 3 tells us, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in heaven." And we read in the Psalms, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah." What wonderful words to explain how we approach this momentous task of self-examination with awe and with an attitude of holiness in this quiet place today. And this should be our attitude when we take these emblems every first day of the week. Brothers and sisters, we should examine ourselves before we partake of the emblems and remind ourselves of his sacrifice for us. Maybe yesterday we had to make a decision. We make hundreds of decisions every day, but when we have to make a decision that affects us spiritually, then we are talking about decisions that we should make after self-examination and before self-denial. These are the decisions that are going to make our life good or bad. And the effect of these decisions will live with us until the day we die. And we know the Bible teaches, and the Bible teaching on divided service or being lukewarm. Our decisions have to be either yes or no. There should be no grey areas with this kind of decision making. Our criteria for making these decisions should come from what we learn from the Word of God. What is acceptable and pleasing to our Father? And when we make these decisions, we should ask in prayer that the outcome of our decisions are in line with God's will. Maybe yesterday nothing really happened that was earth-shattering, and you were just thankful of having another day. You were thankful of being able to read the Bible and study God's Word just one more time. And when we put our worries into God's hand and let him help us, the results are certainly so much more rewarding than anything that we could imagine. Like little children. We don't always know what we want. I don't. Or what is good for us. And we rely on our parents for this direction. And we also rely on our Father in heaven for a direction that is everlasting. And Paul tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There are many roles that we have to achieve if we're going to be true followers of Christ. We are required to have the attitude of a child, humble, honest, and willing to learn. For Matthew chapter 8 tells us, verily I say to you, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, this is me. We should also have the role of a saint in the aspect of holiness and separation from the word, from the world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, love you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. We should all have the role of a priest, and that we should come to our Lord daily with prayer and supplication for ourselves, as the priests of old prayed for Israel, as Peter says in chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We should also have the role of a steward in our responsibility of maintaining and upholding our belief. Meeting here and remembering our Lord is only part of our stewardship. And Luke chapter 12 tells us, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, when the Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that steward whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. And finally, our last role is the role of a witness. Witness to the things concerning our risen Lord and King, and the kingdom of God to be established here on earth. And John chapter 15 tells us, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whoever you shall ask of my, whatever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he will give you. There are many ways that can bring us closer to our treasure laid up for us in heaven. If we take that extra few seconds to ask ourselves before we make a decision, how can we bring God into this, the wiser we will become as a result. And now, my brothers and sisters, we've come to our time of reflection and repentance. We remember our Saviour's broken body by his bread, and his shed blood for the remission of sin, as represented by this way. One without the other would have been of no effect. But together they make one of the most powerful covenants that God ever gave. It should be a reminder that we have been bought with a price. So, every day, let us live our lives in a way that will make it a worthy purchase.